Welcome to the seventh episode of the Meet the Mancunian podcast, season 3. I'm Deepa Thomas Sutcliffe, host of the Meet the Mancunian podcast, which introduces listeners to inspirational Mancunians making a difference in the local community, whether they run a charity or a social enterprise, volunteer or coach others, host a community or go it alone. All my guests have fascinating stories to tell. Sit back, relax, and listen in to Season 3 of the Meet the Mancunian. Tune in to your favorite podcasting platforms every Tuesday. Looking to discover some local history? We hear from Libby Edwards in this episode. I'm delighted to introduce my guest, Libby Edwards, Chair of Friends of Bagley Hall, Heritage Coordinator and Vice Chair of Friends of Withenshaw. So thank you so much, Libby, for joining me today. I'm really excited to have you on the podcast.
Thank you for inviting me.
Yeah. So we started talking as I've come to a couple of the local history events you've been doing. So, but before we talk about your two associations, I'd really be interested to know how you found your passion for local history.
As a child, I was always really interested in old houses, but not just the old house. I always wanted to know who lived there, what their lives were like, what they did, what their affiliations were. So I was always really nosy and wanted to know the ins and outs of everything, not just the building itself.
And that's what got you inspired to get associated with both Friends of Bagley Hall, where you're the chair, as well as Friends of Withenshaw Hall, where you're the vice chair as well as the heritage coordinator. That's so interesting. That's really interesting. So tell us about how you got involved in these two associations in particular, and you know what your role there is, and what, as well as what the associations focused on. I know there's some exciting plans ahead as well that you might want to tell our listeners about.
There are some very exciting plans coming up for Withenshaw Hall in particular. I started with them 10 years ago in September. It was in the summer when Withenshaw Games was on. It coincided with the Olympics being on in England. So okay. They set up games for children in the area to come and sample all different types of sports and have a go, all for free. And it was on, I think it was 10 days initially. So it was quite a good stretch it was on for. And very, very well populated with the local children. While the games was on, Withenshaw Hall was open and it had been closed 2 years previously in 2010. So it hadn't been open for 2 years, and they opened the doors for the duration of the games and asked for people to volunteer to set up a friends group. So, of course, because it was an old house with lots of interest and lots of history to it, I was the first one to put my name down and said, yeah, definitely, I'd like to do it. And in the September, we had the very first meeting. And it was a group of a real mixture of people from the local area, from a bit further afield. And the chair of the group is actually a relative of the Robert Tatton who built Withenshaw Hall late 1530s. So that was sort of a done deal before we'd even started that he would be the chair. It just made so much sense.
Of course.
And then in the last few months, I've actually taken over as vice chair. Our previous vice chair moved down south, so he's not available as often and as hands-on anymore, unfortunately. So I've taken over the role of vice chair. My initial role was heritage coordinator because, as I've said before, I wanted to know the ins and outs of everything. When I very first started the open day in the October, we had people coming into the hall and a couple came over to me and I took one look at them and thought, oh no, they're going to start asking questions. I don't know anything. So, of course, I panicked and I thought, I can't have that. That's just ridiculous. You can't be a room guide that knows nothing. So I went away and did some research and found out that the history of the building itself and the family and the area was absolutely fascinating. And the more I learn, the more I want to learn. And I've just developed it and expanded from there. It's a fascinating story about the building and the family.
Tell us a little bit about it, because I come back to Bagley Hall, but tell us a little bit about the Tatton family. You know, a very quick 5-minute whirlwind tour of Withenshaw Hall's history.
So the Tattons were in the area from about 1270, and they were the lords of the manor from the late 1370s, I think it was. And the hall, as we know it now, Withenshaw Hall, is the second incarnation of the building. There was a fire in the 1530s which burned down the building that was there. So the centre portion of the building was recreated by Robert Tatton when he married Dorothy Booth. Dorothy Booth was from Dun & Massey, so there's a link between the two halls. Then later on in the history of the many Robert Tattons and Williams and Thomases, they all seem to have the same names, there was a marriage to Hester Edgerton from Tatton Park. So there's a link to Tatton, and then there's another marriage where there's a link to Lyme Park. Wow. I was actually told by the grandson of the last owner of the hall that if you could get to a house on horseback and home again within the day, your children were fair game for a marriage. So all the circles were linked and all the big houses were all intermarried over the years.
That is so interesting. And tell us then about Bagley Hall, but where, again, there's a Tatton link, isn't there? And it's also the only piece of Viking architecture. I was reading that in the book that you shared the other day.
Yes, we believe so. We think that Bagley Hall was built around, again, 1370. But one of our members of the Friends group, he's very, very interested in vernacular architecture and buildings. And he believes it's actually older. Sections of it were created before the history suggests. It's a really fascinating building to look at, and hopefully we'll be able to take people around at some point, not anytime immediately soon, but hopefully not too far away. But it does have a link to the Tatton family via two marriages. It came into the Tatton family and followed down the female line, so the names changed and it went down different surnames. And then one of the females married another Tatton, so it came back into the Tattons again.
That is really interesting. And what is the scope for the Friends groups of both Withenshaw Hall and for Bagley Hall? So I think it's in slightly different stages, like you said. There's a lot, perhaps a lot more background with Withenshaw Hall that you could share. But what is it that you all are focused on as a community group? And what impact would you say you made?
With Withenshaw Hall, it's a totally different situation because that's a building that's ready to open and you can go in and wander around and everything is quite clean and tidy and nice and neat. It's had a lot of work done on it since the fire in 2016. So we're ready to reopen in September. That you can start to put furnishings in and make it look like a house that would be lived in. And it's really quite easy to imagine yourself living there. Bagley Hall is a lot more, I wouldn't say neglected as such, but it's not had the same amount of work done on it yet. We're in discussion with Historic England in terms of doing some repair and restoration work on Bagley Hall. And we're hoping to get some work started later on in September, early October, with a view to getting it to a position where we can look at letting public in probably next spring sometime.
That sounds really interesting because, of course, Bagley Hall is in my local neighbourhood. So, and Withenshaw Park and Withenshaw Hall is not very far away at all. And I'm excited about both. And, of course, looking forward to the September event that you, September opening that you talked about. What impact would you say your group has made, Libby?
I think the impact we've had is making the building accessible to the public. It had been used by art galleries as a museum from the 1930s up to 2010. In its later history, it wasn't open as often, and a lot of people missed it while it was closed. The fact that we're able to open it at the moment, we're really looking forward to trying to get back in and open once a month, which is what we used to do before the fire. But also we want to get school groups to come in and really target the younger children and start their interest and their passion in the heritage and the history. So we want to really make it a community asset and people come and have a look round and enjoy visiting.
That is really great. And I think catching people, you know, getting children interested young means that that history passion will stay all their life. Like you, I have a real passion for history. I'm not as experienced as you are, but I do read and try to visit. And I'm very curious about, let's call it the inner workings of, so when you see something about the life that they experience there or some anecdotes, that's really, really interesting for me. So looking forward to learning more. Have there been a lot of challenges that you've faced?
There have, in terms of being able to do what we want to do, because we've got lots of enthusiasm. We've all learned as we've gone along about the history of the building. But because it's run by the council, there are limitations to what we can achieve and what we can do. We can't always get access at the drop of a hat. If we decide we want to do an event, we have to work together with the council and make sure that there's a council member of staff available to come and cover the event for us. They have been really good and really supportive with us, so hopefully we'll work well together in partnership with them. It's just something we have to be aware of and make sure we factor into the planning when we start getting overexcited about events and don't get too carried away before we've made sure we've got clearance to do it.
Is there a shout out you might have for members of the public about how they could get involved, either in the Friends of Withenshaw Hall or the Friends of Bagley Hall? How can members of public, how can they basically contribute?
Both of the groups are on Facebook. We've got Friends of Withenshaw Hall and Friends of Bagley Hall on Facebook. They're both on Twitter as well. So we've got at Withenshaw Hall and at Bagley Hall, FOBH, short for Friends of Bagley Hall. People can contact us on either of those links. We do meet on a monthly basis online, the committee at Bagley Hall, and we're starting to get the public meetings up and running every couple of months again. We meet at Hall Lane Resource Centre. So if anyone is interested, check our social media and there will be postings about the dates for the meetings on there. They can also contact our secretary, John, and he's on bagleyfriends@gmail.com. He will add to the mailing list and let people know the dates of the meetings. Friends of Withenshaw Hall is a more active volunteer base where we can actually go into the building and open to the public. And we've done a bit of a recruitment because of needing new members to get ready for the opening in September. If anyone's interested in joining Friends of Withenshaw Hall, they can contact us on mail@withenshawhall.com.
Thanks for that. And of course, yesterday I joined your lovely community walk that Friends of Bagley Hall organised and came to one of your community meetings as well. And it's really great to see how much progress you're making and how you're trying to get the community actively involved. And yesterday, of course, it was a wide range of people. People with long ties to the area as well as people with new interests. So that was really nice to see. What advice would you have for people looking to start something similar in another part of the world? So getting a local history group together, preserving an ancient building. Is there some advice you can offer? We've got listeners from 35 countries and I'm sure they'll be very interested.
Wow, that's quite a listener base. Gosh. I think I'd say initially, if you've got a building in mind, find out who is responsible for it in terms of ownership or custodianship. We're lucky because we've got Manchester City Council for Withenshaw Hall and Historic England and English Heritage for Bagley Hall. So they're quite approachable and easy to contact. But initially, find out who's responsible for it. Approach them and find out, are there any friends groups? Are there any people involved in looking after the building? Put your ideas to the custodians of the building and see if you can work together. The best way is to get the ownership people on side and get their support and try and work in partnership with them, because trying to work just on your own never really achieves very much. And don't be put off if initially they say, oh no, we're not looking to do that. Be determined, find out why not, what you can do to change the mind, how you can get things progressing, how you can look after the building and take it forward.
That's great advice and thank you so much for sharing that. Libby, now I want to give you an opportunity before I come to my signature questions. I want to ask you if there's something you want to talk about that I haven't had a chance to ask you about, either for Friends of Bagley Hall or for Friends of Withenshaw Hall, if there's something specific you'd like to share or a little bit of detail you'd like to go into.
I think the detail I'd like to tell you about is our reopening ceremony.
Of course.
The reason we chose the date, September the 10th, is because that's the 10th anniversary of the formation of the Friends Group. Now, a lot of our original membership are still with us. Unfortunately, we've lost some of them due to ill health, or we've actually had some members who've passed away. So the new members that are joining us are joining an established group with experience. And on the opening ceremony, what we're actually doing, we've got the Deputy Lord Mayor coming to open the building. So that will take place at 11 o'clock in the morning. And they will then get to have a little look around the building and see what's being done, all the work that's been done on it. After that, the hall will be open from 12 till 5 on the Saturday and also on the Sunday to the public. And we've got a couple of slots of entertainment in the Tenants Hall as well on both days. There's so many fascinating things to find out about the building. What we've done is we've put existing volunteers as room leads with new people in as sort of learning and making progress on their membership. So if you go in and chat to somebody and they look like a rabbit in headlights and know absolutely nothing, it's because they're brand new and they're probably scared to death. So if you come in and they do look terrified, be kind.
I'm sure people will be very nice.
I'm hoping so. There's always members of us about that know a little bit more about the history. And if there's anything you want to know, feel free to ask us. And if you do get a newbie that doesn't know, they'll point you in the right direction of somebody who does know a little bit more to answer the questions.
And to just confirm those dates, those were the 10th and 11th of September?
That's right.
The Saturday and the Sunday, 12 to 5, on both days.
On both days, yes.
That's really exciting. And I'm sure those who are in Manchester or visiting Manchester would definitely want to check it out. Where could they find tickets?
It's on Eventbrite, and we're hoping to launch that in the next couple of days. The information will be shared on all our social media, so on Facebook and Twitter. And the links, you just click on a link or a QR code and it takes you to book the tickets. Tickets are free, entrance is free to the events, but it just gives us an idea of how many people to expect and allows us to control numbers.
No, sure.
One issue we do have is disabled access because of the nature of the building and the layout of the entrances and exits. If you've got a wheelchair that's quite narrow, you could get into the downstairs areas quite easily. If you have one of the big motor scooters, you will struggle. What we want to do is set up an open day that's specifically accessible to people with mobility issues. All of the rooms will have notice boards in them, but if you can't get upstairs to see the room, you can't see the notice board either. So we'll bring all the notice boards downstairs and we'll do a presentation that will show photographs of the rooms and make sure that people don't miss out.
That's really nice. Thank you for sharing that. Look forward to hearing more about more accessible events, more community events. And like you said, you might have something monthly. So that'll be really interesting.
We're planning to do an event for Bagley Hall in the grounds of the hall. Because of the condition of the building at the moment and the fact that there is scaffolding in the Great Hall downstairs, we can't get access to the building. But we've had discussions again with Historic England and we're hoping to do some sort of harvest type event for the end of September. It was used by a family for quite a lot of years as a farm, so basing it on the farm aspect and the fact that it's harvest time of year, we think that would be quite a nice theme. So hopefully that will be in the grounds of Bagley Hall at the end of September. Again, that will go out on social media and to all our friends base via their emails.
That's so interesting. Was this Mayor Farm? I think my neighbour talked about it, my 99-year-old neighbour. What was the name of the farm?
I don't know how you pronounce it, whether it's Mayer or Mayher.
Yes. You did say it was a farm, yes. And there's fields, yeah, Everywhere.
And apparently Hall Lane only went as far as Bagley Hall. It didn't go further up. So where we walked yesterday, that didn't exist. That was just fields.
That is really interesting. So I'm going to now ask you the signature questions that I ask all my guests. And because this is Meet the Mancunian, what do you love the most about Manchester?
I think that's got to be the people and the community spirit. when we had the fire at Withenshaw Hall, people were just falling over themselves to be helpful and to ask what they could do and how they could support us. Community spirit in Withenshaw especially is absolutely second to none. And I think that must probably be the thing I like most about Manchester.
Oh, I've experienced that myself, so I totally agree. Where's your favourite place in Manchester? And I know this is a hard one, but I'll give you two if that helps.
It's like, have you got a favourite child? And you should never admit it, should you? But because I've been involved with Withenshaw Hall for so much longer, and that was the initial place that I first got involved with, I'd say Withenshaw Hall first, and then Bagley Hall comes a very close second.
What's the most important life lesson you've learned?
Oh, gosh. I think go for your goals and stick with what you want to do. It's made me a lot more confident. I used to be very shy and wouldn't put myself forward for anything. If you'd have asked me to do this podcast 10 years ago, I'd have just run a mile and I wouldn't have wanted to be involved. I'd have been too nervous. Nowadays, I do all sorts of presentations and talks and history exhibitions and things. And another thing I do is I often dress up in costumes, so either Tudor or Victorian costumes. So when go out and do the presentations, you get the full impact. And I'm quite happy to have photos taken in costume and everything. If you put me back in my civilian clothes, I go back into hiding and all the confidence goes. So it's a totally different persona. It's like I become this character that's supremely confident and quite happy to do anything. And just as a normal person, I just run off and hide.
That is really interesting. I look forward to seeing one of these costumes. And I think I've seen some of them on Facebook. Maybe something for the opening. Is that something you
definitely
might be?
I'm starting to make a new Tudor costume for the opening. So yeah, you'll definitely see that.
Well, that's very interesting. If someone wrote a book on your life, what would they title it?
Probably She's a Nutter. I think because of all the things I do, I don't just do the history side of it. I do steampunk as well, which is dressing up. And I really like getting into character and all the costume side of things. And I think because I've got such a varied knowledge of all the different aspects of the history and the buildings and all the rest of it, people would just look at me and think, wow, she's mad. How did she find all these things out? And it's just grit and determination and self-taught and keep digging till you find everything.
I think I noticed when I was looking at the podcast analytics is that the third highest podcast is listenership is for a episode where somebody had a funny story about a squirrel nibbling their finger when they were talking about their favorite park.
All right.
No pressure, but I just wanted to ask if there's something that you think is, you have a funny story or a local anecdote that you'd like to share, and either in context of Manchester broadly or Withenshaw Hall or Bagley Hall.
Well, everyone likes a good ghost story, and with Withenshaw Hall, I believe strongly that we've definitely got ghosts around. I think a lot of the Tatton family are about, and on one of the open days I was setting up and I was in the building on my own. The lady who worked for the council said I just need to nip out to one of the other buildings in the park. So I said, yeah, that's fine, I'm okay. So I was setting up for Halloween, and as far as I was aware, was in the building completely on my own. And suddenly I heard this blood-curdling scream, and I thought, oh no, what's going on? So of course I went dashing downstairs to see what was happening, not realising there were actually a group filming a horror film downstairs, and suddenly I was in the middle of the set.
So it wasn't a real ghost, it was like just some sound effects from the horror movie
from the filming. And of course they didn't know I was in the building, so I scared them to death suddenly appearing out of nowhere. So it worked.
That's a great story. Thank you for sharing it with us.
Thank you.
welcome back to Shane. Yeah. So Libby, thank you so much for talking to me and my listeners. It was fantastic and just learning so much about the local history and how you're getting the community involved and the exciting reopening of both Withenshaw Hall as well as the forthcoming harvest event, you said, at Bagley Hall. So that sounds really nice and looking forward to experiencing both of them. Thank you for taking the time today.
Thank you very much for inviting me. It's been lovely to chat to you.
Thank you, Libby, for talking to me and my listeners. I really enjoyed learning about some local history today. Dear listener, thank you so much for listening to the 7th episode of the Meet the Mancunian podcast, Season 3. I know many of you are listening in from different parts of the world or across the UK. I hope this episode and the podcast itself inspires you to follow your dreams and passions, inspired by the amazing Mancunian guests who feature here. Tune in every Tuesday for a new episode. Next week, the Meet the Mancunian podcast talks to Harry Dwan about tackling homelessness. Tune in on Tuesday, 13 September 2022 to hear the next episode. Please do consider subscribing to the podcast and leaving us a review on Apple Podcasts. I would also be grateful if you could share this podcast with a friend or a family member. Thank you.